So as we always require to declare, I have no relationship, no financial relationship to disclose. So today I'm going to present a health literacy model for limited English speaking populations. This is the model that I kind of developed through the literature review, and it is not tested. And by the end of this presentation, you probably have a lot of questions about health literacy, which is my intention, because we, in this field, I think there's a lot of issues that we haven't really solved, and there's a lot of potential to advance this field by, you know, collaborative efforts. So what is health literacy? Globally, there is no unified consensus about what's the meaning of health literacy. Different countries have different definitions. Some countries, like us, has been very advanced, and we have IOM definition. Canada, they have similar definition of health literacy, and the Europeans also share similar meaning like us in the way we define health literacy. But there are certain countries in the world that do not have the concept of health literacy, for example in China, for example in Japan, and in Netherlands, and in Africa. So if someone coming from Africa to the US and then you talk about what do you mean by health literacy, he may have a question mark in his mind. So bear this in mind. So let's go back to look at the IOM definition of health literacy. It's the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. So this is the definition provided by IOM in 2004, and then we're still using it today. We may have a little bit tweak around the definition to expand it a little bit, but still the guiding principle is there. So we are interested in health literacy because we know that it affects health outcome, and possibly, as you know, low level of health literacy is consistently associated with negative health outcome in terms of people who have low health literacy would have more chance being hospitalized and greater use of emergency care, and they are not aware of preventive care and less participate in preventive care such as mammography screening or influenza vaccination or colorectal cancer screening. And these people, including chronic illness patients, for example, suffering from asthma or COPD, they have non-adherence to medications, diabetic patients as well. They have trouble interpreting medication labels and health messages correctly. And for the elderly, there is overall health, poorer overall health status and higher mortality rate. So we see that there's a link between low health literacy and health outcome, but we didn't really understand the causal pathway between the two. So a lot of people have designed or developed a lot of health literacy model and frameworks. This is only a list of them. There's plenty. Probably if you search on PubMed, you find out maybe 20 to 50 different types of framework, including the one that I just added. So people have their own specific point of view about health literacy, so the way they design these measures are different. Some focusing on individuals' capacity, their cognitive ability, their social skills, their personal skills, and some focusing on the interaction between the individual and also the healthcare system in which how health literacy skills are being exercised. So this is one part of the story. And also, there's a lot of researchers who are very interested, like me, to really measure people's health literacy level. So a lot of people also design a lot of different various type of measures. And these measures, again, is have different focus. Some really focusing on a particular age group, for example, adolescents. Some clinically focused because when you are in a clinic, you really want to see if a person has a low literacy level so that you can design some sort of interventions to help them, providing them interpreters, providing them culturally appropriate language materials, something like that. So some people, when they design this measure, what is in their mind is really to have some sort of screening tool to screen out people who have adequate health literacy, who have average health literacy or who have low health literacy. And some people are gearing towards on reading comprehension, So different people have different, developed different measures. And these measures are not correspond to the framework. And so let's go back to the last slide. So these existing measures, many of them are developed in US and in English. Because of the increasing interest in internationally about the issue of health literacy, other countries also develop their own measures using their own languages. For example, in Brazil, in Korea, in China, in Taiwan, and in Japan. So they all develop their own measures with specific focus. Some focusing on the capacity to access health information. Some focusing on the understanding health knowledge of common diseases they will experience. So this is some of the items. I can see some of them are also psychometrically tested, so pretty good. So there are some issues when I look at the health literacy model and measures is there's three things that we still need to improve. One is about the model, because even the model developed, we have so many models developed, there are few really empirically tested. We have a lot of measures developed and have been used, but there's this problem about how to do a translated version, except Stover and Rhyme that has been translated into different languages into Spanish. We have hard time translating some of the instruments into other languages, for example, Chinese, because of the linguistic differences and conceptual differences. We don't, the health literacy intervention that we develop and tested is not theoretical based. And one of the major things that I really feel strongly is the health literacy measure that we are using currently is in English. And when you apply to a non-speaking English populations, I doubt how accurate it is. And in fact, there's some issue, some evidence showing that, you know, when you apply the English scale to a person who do not speak English, it doesn't come up with a accurate measurement. So my question is, did the concept of health literacy apply to every person, like you and me, or someone who comes from a different country, or what? Or do the measures that we are using it now actually reflect the concept of health literacy? So when we look at the bigger picture of the United States today, you can see that we are increasingly diverse. And needless to say, we have like 300 languages spoken in the U.S., different languages spoken, and then about 25% of the U.S. population speak English not well, particularly for Asian immigrants. Half of the Korean, Chinese, and Vietnamese speak English not well. So if you apply a English instrument to these people, is it possible to reveal some, you know, really accurate measurements of their health literacy level? And we project that in the by 2050, 1 in 5 Americans will be immigrants. So it is really important to tease out the linkage between English proficiency and health literacy. So my question is, how do limited English proficiency and limited health literacy affect immigrants' participation in health and interact with healthcare system, which has a predominantly English-speaking focus? Are we going to provide 20 different languages to our patients if you're working in a community health clinic that serves like immigrants? Or we just ignore them, we just give them English language education material, we speak English and try to make it as simple as possible. So which are the way out? So the model that we kind of work on is based on, this is not tested, this is something that is really kind of in a very primitive form. We base on literature review, on our understanding on health literacy. We base on health communication and public health perspective. We want to link between health literacy and health outcome. And we recognize health literacy is content and context specific. It's a multidimensional construct. It's generative and dynamic, and it's a set of skills that people possess and can be enhanced. So this is the model that we propose. And you can see that on the red side with all the dots, we argue that for immigrants, for LEP immigrants, we have a different pathway between health literacy to, and health outcome which is different from the native born. We have four things here. One is sociocultural factors, the second one is demographic factor, the third one is its English literacy skill, and the fourth one is health literacy. You can see the health literacy is blank. There's nothing there because we don't know whether my meaning of health literacy, I'm an immigrant, so my health literacy, my concept of health literacy is the same as yours. The first thing we need to do is to really, you know, try to understand, are we share the same meaning? Are we talking the same concept or not? So relief feedback, they have to be done with formative work like interview focus groups to really understand what people think. And the second thing is about the health literacy, is it's not only that person's perception of what is meant by health literacy, it also affects by the healthcare system that he or she exposed. So for in America, when you compare, don't touch it. Do you hear me? Okay. So for example, I'm working with the Canadian people to work on the project, on one of the health literacy projects. And then we realized that there's a huge differences between the Canadian healthcare system versus the US system, as you all know. So that really affected that person's ability, the citizens of each country, how they exercise their health literacy skills as well, because we were very affected by the healthcare system. As you know, Canada is much more diverse than us, and then we are very, and then they have a universal healthcare system, we don't. So that affects how we exercise it. And then the second thing is the English literacy skill. And we don't just say about, okay, you speak English well, then you're English proficient. Bear in mind that when a foreign person, when he or she learns English, there's a different level of learning in respect to the listening, speaking, and reading and writing skill. And from my experience, Chinese are very good at reading rather than speaking English. They prefer you give them some sort of like this kind of material, and then they will go home and then find out the dictionary, try to understand the meaning. But it's very difficult for them to speak kind of fluently. But doesn't mean that they're not good at all. Vice versa, maybe Hispanic are more fluent in English, but we may have problem in reading. It really depends. But I want to let you know that for the social cultural factor, there is two things that is really unique that for the LEP immigrants regarding the health literacy is we are affected by the acculturation. For example, if you move here, you have a family member that speaks English, they can probably help you find out ways to navigate the healthcare system, find out appropriate health information, so that affects your ability to utilize your skill. One thing about the demographic factor is about education. When we measure health literacy, we always measure like the years of education that you have. But in fact, we really should look at, I try to skip because I have little time now. When you look at English proficiency and years of education, you really should understand how many years this person has spent in the U.S. and how much exposure of English in the country of origin. That really counts. It's not the year of education, because the year of education that he received is related to the language. You know, if I'm a Chinese, I learn Chinese language. I'm not learning English. So that doesn't really reflect, the education doesn't really reflect as a variable in that sense. And then the other thing is when you're assessing the English proficiency level, perceived English proficiency level is different from what the actual assessment. So we really need to work on some projects that really tease out the relationship between English proficiency with health literacy. So again, and then my kind of idea is that I don't want to screen out people, oh, you are low health literacy. Oh, you are above health literacy issue level. But I'm trying to say you have comparative advantages. You are good at certain things. For example, you're good at reading, you're good at writing, but you're not that proficient in speaking. That's fine. We try to find some ways out. So this is the way we should tackle rather than screen out people. Because when you screen out people, you kind of stigmatize them. You kind of label them. And then the other thing that I want to mention quickly is about the communication platform. The ability, the English proficiency affects your way you communicate to use the platform. think about when you go to see a doctor, what do you need to do? You need to call, like, to make an appointment first, right? You use your listening and speaking skill. And then when you go to see a doctor, you have a face-to-face interaction. Again, you use a lot of your skills, like listening, talking, speaking. But after you visit the doctor may give you some health education material or a summary sheet of the visit, and then you have to read all these things. So whether you have the proficiency in English determine how much you can utilize all this media, all these communication platforms, social media, international encounters, and written forms. And nowadays, increasingly, we don't need face-to-face. We always text, we always email. So think about how it impacts a person's exercise of health literacy. And the English proficiency and the use of communication platform determine how we make decisions and how much information we can get and how much services we can get. And then it also affects the related activities that we are engaged in and ultimately affecting the health outcomes. So I published a paper last year regarding this model. It is very in a primitive form. I already revised it. But if you are interested, you can go to Google it and you can find that paper. And then the strength of this model is like when we are talking about, given the huge number of immigrants, LEP immigrants, we need to recognize that you need to really assess the English proficiency, how it affects health literacy, in what way it affects health literacy, and then that is detrimental to health, influencing the health outcome, and also acknowledge how people using the communication platform and how immigrants can benefit to it. So one last word. I still have 1 minute. So think about yourself. This actually appeared on the paper published in 2006 by one of my colleagues, Boris Lamy, in Canada. So think about if you are a German immigrant and you immigrate to Canada. You are German, you are a doctor in German, and then you immigrate to Canada. You don't speak English. You don't speak French. First, think about whether your health literacy, well, supposedly if you're a doctor, you have a very high health literacy skill, right? So think about how much you can exercise your skill, how much additional skill you have to learn in order to exercise your existing skill, how much of your existing skill has been eliminated because of the certain barrier that you are confronted with the healthcare system in Canada. So think about this, then you have to really figure out in any sort of health literacy model, you cannot take away the language part. Thank you.